Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, where I am your host, Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me a child of God. But I am grateful and wonderfully blessed that you are here on a Monday night, one we've never seen and one we will never see again. But praise God, we are here. And so because of that, we thank God for that, and we thank God for you. So if this is your very first time tuning in, again, my name is Leah Killings or Dr. Happy or whatever you call me. Call me the child of God, but we are excited about making sure that you are encouraged, that you're educated and empowered before you leave on tonight. Our goal is to always leave you with an encouraging word. The education part, it may not be a brand new topic, but it's definitely one that will give you some insight and help you see something maybe a little differently or cause you to study a little bit more to have a better understanding. And then we always want to make sure that whatever it is that God has laid on our hearts, that we be empowered to make the necessary changes. And then when you make those changes, to be empowered to share it with someone else. So like I said, if this is your very first time, I pray that you will receive all three, to be encouraged, educated, and empowered. And then invite somebody else to come back next week. We're on every Monday night, and so we look forward to having you back. But those of you that have been with me, praise God for, can you believe next month I'll be able to say in a couple of weeks, 10 years, 10 years we've been in this thing. And I'm very grateful that God has blessed those of you that have been with me, whether it's been 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, 3 years, the whole 9, 10 years. I'm very grateful that you decided to hang out with me and pray with me and keep me encouraged and keep me focused. You keep me wanting to study more so that I can always be educated on the topics that God lays on my heart and then be empowered to make the necessary changes if I have to make changes. Amen. And so I'm grateful that you are with me and that you have been with me for all the time that we've been in this thing. So thank you. Now, I would be remiss if I did not call Jesse and Tammy Store's name by a name with the authority that, praise God, I believe God is going to call us to learn about tonight. But to do it in such a way, because if it hadn't been for them, Zane, I wouldn't have known that this would have been a platform for me. And so I will always, always, always call them by name, and I will always, always give them a major shout-out, them and the Mega Ministry Group, because they continue to encourage me, they continue to empower me, and they continue to keep me focused and learning about what is necessary to stand tall and do what God has called us to do and be consistent and good at it. And so I'm grateful for them. So for those of all of you that don't know, you will know that we got to give the best praise to God, because he's my Father, he's your Father, he's all of our fathers, whether we believe it or not. He is our Father, and so we always start with an upbeat tone. I acknowledge those of you that are listening, and then we go to God in prayer. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, thanking you for your wonderful blessing. We thank you for waking us up this morning with the use of our limbs and in our right minds. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to accomplish all the things that we were able to accomplish on today. And even those that are still pushing will accomplish those things that they may accomplish on tonight. We pray, Father, that you will continue to bless us and strengthen us as we continue to learn more about you, allow our hearts and our minds to be open to receive, and then to do the necessary things to make sure that we are empowered to do what you've called us to do with the information, not to sit on it or be fat on it, but to use it to be lean so that we'll share it with other people, so that we can always exercise what you've taught us, so that we can be disciples and the soldiers that you've called us to be. Father, we recognize that without you, we can do absolutely nothing. So we acknowledge you as divine and that we're just branches. But if we remain in you and your word remains in us, we will bear fruit that will remain, and we'll be able to do those things, Father, that we ask, because you said that if we remain in you, your word, amen, it goes forth, it will come back, and it will not come back void. So we thank you for all the blessings that we will encounter on tonight, and that they will grow and manifest into whatever it is that you've called for it, so that we can be better people. Father, again, we ask that you bless this lesson. Take me away, Father, so that you can be relevant in this hour, that we will take the information that you give us and use it to the best of our abilities. And, Father, if somebody needs to be encouraged because they're not feeling the way that they need to feel, we pray, Father, that a word, an encouraging word, whether they listen tonight or whether they listen to the broadcast 2, 3 years from now, that this rhema word will be fresh and anew for them. Father, we love you, we honor, we adore you, and we thank you for being our shepherd. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you for no distractions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killings. I don't know, I was getting confused trying to say Dr. Happy and Leah Killings at the same time. But whatever you call me, like I said, call me a child of God. But I'm so excited on tonight because I get to talk about a topic that I love and that is really dear to me. And praise God, I learned how to do this many, 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 many years ago. And so by the time I got to a point where I could sit at the adult table, I was pretty, pretty, pretty good at it. And so I love the fact that God gave me a lesson that I could use centered around my favorite card game called Spades. Now, for those of you that don't know about Spades, amen, I've learned how to progress to a more an adult game called Big Wiz, but nevertheless, Spades is foundation to teach you how to play so that you can know how to handle your hand. And so the object of the game, and I like the way that it's described on the internet because I never really read the definitions. I just knew how to play. But nevertheless, it fits so keenly with our lesson for tonight. But the internet, because, you know, I love me some Google, it explains Spades as a trick card-taking game devised in the United States around the 1930s. It is played either with partners or solo. I've never played it solo before, but nevertheless, it said it's a cutthroat game, and the object is to take the number of tricks that were bid before play of the hand before it began. Love it, love it, love it. And then I like the next, another definition it gave that says the object to take the number of tricks, also known as books. You know, I got to get my books, nevertheless, that were bid before the play of the hand began. Now, the coolest thing about playing cards in college is that I would have to agree, for some of us, I think I should have got a degree in playing Spades more so than I got the degree that I got. But nevertheless, I learned how to play cards sitting at the table when I was supposed to be in class. Don't tell nobody. But nevertheless, I learned how to play. And the object of the game, at least for me, and that helps me, and that helped me win quite a few contests and different things, you have to learn how to count your cards. And when you learn how to count your cards, then you know what books that need to be played are still out. And so normally then you have the four suits of your cards. And you have spades, you have hearts, you have diamonds, and you have clubs. Some call them puppet toes, but whatever you call them, amen, you got to know that there's at least 12 in each suit. And then, of course, if you play with the jokers, then you got to account for them. And you have the high and you have the low. And then, praise God, if you're good enough and you have enough cards in your hand that you can get most of the books, we call that there a Boston. And so we tell people we're going to take a trip to Boston because that means you're going to collect all the cards. Now, it's cool to have a partner because whatever you're missing in your hand, your partner can make up for you. And then, praise God, it's always good to know how to do different signs with your partner. Now, some folks call that cheating, but nevertheless, you try to win the hand. Now, when you think about spades and you think about just card games in general, any game for that matter, we want to win. And so the passion to win helps you learn how to master the game, if you will. So sometimes people do for games. They look up the rules and they study and they try to figure out the faces of their opponents so they can see if they're bidding correctly or if they're lying, because, you know, a lot of times I won't be it just to let the people be it and think they got a lot of stuff and then just set them on purpose. But nevertheless, you learn how to play the game to the best of your ability. And you do that by making sure that you understand the art of the game. Well, it was interesting that I was studying what to share on tonight and how God gave me the title Trump Card and how the enemy wants a trump card with all of us. And so he's studying us because he knows when we're tricking, if you will, when they talk about the number of tricks. He has a lot of tricks. And then he knows when we're trying to trick him too. And so it's imperative when you're playing cards that you understand the rules. And that's why I say it's important for you to know to count your cards, because when you count your cards, you're not just playing aces and you're not just playing twos and threes. You know exactly how many twos are left. You know exactly what suits are left because you're playing with a strategy. And I want to tell you, Saints, that the enemy has the strategy. But the coolest thing about his strategy is that God has given us some keys He's given us keys so that we can understand how to outwit him and we can out-trump him. And so I love the fact that the keys of the kingdom, at least the way that I was taught, that there are seven principles in which we talk about when we talk about the keys of the kingdom of heaven. It's love, repentance, faith, obedience, fearlessness, and then prayer. Now, I'm not going to talk much about those tonight, but we'll get into those because, you know, I love October because October is the month that we talk about the adversary. But tonight, God laid on my heart to really focus on the word authority. And it's important for us to understand that the term keys are used as a symbol of teaching authority. And so when I sit down at the table at the card game, I sit down with authority because I am confident that I know how to play the game. And so when the enemy steps to us, he is confident that he can overrule us and overtake us. But we have to be just as confident and step and walk in our authority because Jesus died on our behalf to make sure that we understood that he took the keys to the kingdom. And so basically we have the trump card that we can hold out until the end, amen, and slap it down with power, knowing that we have the ace. Amen. And the ace of spades at that. Amen. To trump. As a matter of fact, we have the jokers. Amen. We can trump all suits to make sure that we let Satan know that he is not in authority. Now, tonight I want to focus on seven keys that will help us prevail when we're talking about how we can limit Satan's authority in our lives. So first and foremost, I'm going to use quite a few scriptures. So if you got paper and pencil, it's important for you to write them down because I'm going to give the scriptures. But I'll go back over them to make sure because I know my sister's always one. And my daughter, now too, Mama, you go too fast. And so when I get excited, amen, but I'm going to try to be slow and to make sure we get it all in. But praise God. When we're talking about the keys that will effectively limit the authority of the enemy, first and foremost, the first one that I love and I'm growing to love, it will never out-trump my favorite scripture, which is John 15:5. But this one is getting up there really close because I'm really understanding the seriousness of why we need to know Luke 10:19. Luke 10:19 says, I have given you, and who is I have given you? This is Jesus himself. I have given you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all, not some, not a little bit, not a tiny bit, but all of the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. We have to learn our authority and operate in it. Just as confident as I can sit down and play them cards, amen, I have to be just as confident that when the enemy is bucking up to me, that I got to be able to stand tall and know that I know what authority that Jesus has given me and standing with him, that he can't harm me, because it says that all power of the enemy, nothing can harm me because I have the authority that Jesus gave me. But if I don't know it, amen, then the trick's on me and the enemy will be able to take my hand, amen. So you gotta know and you gotta learn your authority. Many of us don't understand it because we're not reading our word. We're not studying to show ourselves approved so we can rightly divide God's word. And so we don't know, so we don't walk in the authority that he's given. But we got to learn and walk in it. Amen? The next one is, we got to understand that all authority must be exercised. We can't say that we have the authority and then don't walk in it. We got to exercise it. And the scripture reference from that is Luke 9:1-2. And it says, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now, this is where I have a pause, because there's way too many of us in the word. There's way too many of us that claim that we're in the kingdom of God, but we're not seeing the manifestation of the power and authority that God has given all of us to go out and lay hands on the sick for them to recover. Why is that? Well, one, I'm reminded of another story in the Bible when the demons, when the disciples couldn't cast out the demons. And they asked, why couldn't we do that? Because they didn't understand their authority. Saints, we don't understand our authority. It is so important for us to walk in the things of God. It is so important for us to learn why it is important for us to walk in authority. Many times people don't believe that's the preacher's job or that's the teacher's job. That's not my assignment. That's a lie, because it says that he called them and he gave them. That them is us, all of us. He said that what he gave the disciples, he gave to us. And so if you understand your authority, the enemy should not be able to come in your camp and run Boston in your home. But we allow it because we don't operate in the authority that we have. I mean, I don't know many of you, but I would assume to say that quite a few of the people that I know that are listening, we all know how to play cards, and we know how to get excited when, even when we ain't playing spades, we just playing pity-pat, amen. We get excited when we know we got the upper hand. We play jacks, the little kids, and we're slapping jacks. When you see that jack come, you know to slap it, amen. And the kids get excited when they see the jack, and then they get all the cards because they know these are mine, and you take authority because you take them because you know them are your cards. We got to do the same thing when it comes to the enemy, when he tries to come into our camps and tries to take things from us. No, ma'am. And that's why it's interesting that many of you have told me, Leah, you know, you don't feel good. You probably should sit down somewhere. I don't think so, because I have the authority over the sickness to do what God has called me to do. Now, I do believe in wisdom, and so I rest when I'm supposed to. But nevertheless, you will not see me sit on my assignment, because the enemy does not have power over me. I got the trump card in my hand because I know that God is going to give me whatever I need to make sure that I do what I need to do when he's called me to the place to do it. Amen. And so when you're called to the throne, then you got to be willing to take your authority and do what God has called you to do. Hook or crook, it don't matter. You got to know. There's many times that people that sitting at the table, they don't count the cards, so they don't know that you got the ace still hanging out. They may have thought it was played already. And so many times the enemy, he don't quite know, because he doesn't have the skill. He's not all-knowing. He's not all-powerful. But sometimes we make him think that because we don't know. You got to know. And so that's why it's important for you to learn your authority, operate it, and then exercise it. Amen. Now, how do you do that? You got to do that by 1 Corinthians 16:13. 1 Corinthians 16 says you got to be alert. You got to stand firm in faith and act like men. Be strong. Be strong. How do we do that? First and foremost, we got to be alert. When you playing cards, you paying attention. You cut, baby. You cut hearts before. You renege. You paying attention. That's how being alert. We got to be alert when the enemy try to go left, when you know this situation is going right. No. We're not doing that. Mm-mm. We're not doing that. That's why you got to be alert, and you got to stand firm in your belief. If you're reading the word and you're studying the things that God has promised you, I know that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made and made in his image, and I know that my heart has to beat in the beat and the rhythm that God designed for it. So I got to tell my heart, you got to beat. You got to line up. You got to do what God called you to do. And so if I have the faith to believe, and I'm calling on my scriptures, and I'm standing on my authority, 10:19, Lord, you said you gave me authority over snakes and scorpions and over all the evil powers of the enemy. So we got to line this up. This heart got to beat right. You know, whatever your situation is, this job got to line up. These people got to stop acting stupid on me. I remember when I was working for a company, and they didn't like chocolate people. I'll just say it that way. And so they rallied around, and they were building up a case against me. Now, before they got there, of course, you know, I had been, you know, overdoing numbers and exceeding and doing things that, you know, was defying belief. But I knew it wasn't defying the belief. I just knew I had Jesus on my side. But nevertheless, and so a lady told me, she said, baby, is your office anointed? And I was like, huh? And she said, do you have oil? She said, sometimes you got to let the oil just drip so folks can see it. And so I knew they were coming. And so I took oil, and I had oil everywhere. I had oil all over my office, all on the doors, because I had a glass door. And so I had oil just dripping so you could see it. And so when they came in and they turned the handle, I was like, what is all this? I said, you better be careful. And so I just sat down. They had 30 write-ups, 30 at one time. And they presented all these write-ups to me. And so I laughed, and they said, why are you laughing? I said, because God is not going to let that work. You can't give me 30 write-ups over a course of a period of time and expect me to sign that? No, that's not going to happen. And he's like, what is all of this stuff everywhere? It's greasy. Like I said, you got to be careful. And so I tell you this to tell you that I took them same 30 write-ups, and my uncle said, baby, if you don't go to the EEOC, I'm not going to respect you. So I took them, and I went to the EEOC. Do you know them folks this day? That was 16 years ago. They still paying me. Amen. But nevertheless, God don't like ugly. And so if you do your part, amen, who got the trump card now? I do. But nevertheless, that's why it's important for you to stand on God's word, because his promises, amen, he doesn't go back on his promises. Okay, so praise God. You got to learn your authority and operate it. You got to exercise it. You got to stand on the word of God. And then number four, you got to be part of a life-giving community. I think sometimes we forget that we want to take, and we forget we're supposed to give. We have to give. And I like that Luke 6 and 30 says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, runneth over, and put into your lap. For with the measure you measure, it will be measured again to you. I love, 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 love. Now, I didn't love in the beginning because it was a little interesting at the time. But I remember, and I had to write a report a couple weeks ago on when did I start giving. And I remember years ago when I was a kid, we used to go to a nursing home once a month. And I hated it because it smelled really bad. And we had to carry the patients downstairs into the basement where they had like a little, I guess it was a chapel, but it wasn't really a chapel, but we made it a chapel. And so we would, every fourth Sunday, we would go and we would carry these people and they'd have diapers on. Now, mind you, I was probably 11 or 12, so I didn't quite understand at the time. But once we got down there and we'd have to sing and then we, you know, share the word, and these people would be so excited. And we did that for many years. And I didn't understand what I was doing back then, but praise God, we were sharing and bringing people life. And I got to understand that there were many people that we served that never saw their family. The only family they had or the only people that they had to come in to see them or visit them was on fourth Sunday when we came. And so it made me, what's the word? When we talk about, oh Lord, it's escapes. Well, how when we see things and we just accept them. And so I saw it enough that it didn't bother me enough. So I was exposed to people with differences and people that had, you know, some challenges. And so when I started going and helping those in transition, I don't call them homeless because they're in transition. I made the mistake of calling somebody homeless, and the look on their face, and it hurt me to my heart, and I apologize. I said, I will never call you homeless. You are in transition. And when their face lit up, yes, I'm in transition. I'm like, because you're not going to always be this way. You're just in transition. And I promised I would never call them homeless. But nevertheless, so I started helping. And so first we started helping just out of the van. And the lady would cook a big meal, and we would just get a ladle, and we would pour it into these containers, and we would give the people. And then sometimes we would bring blankets and just different things because we were doing it outside. And then, praise God, after we did that for several years, we started putting the lunches and things together to pass out. Well, now, praise God, we've been moved into the 2000s, and God blessed me to be able to go to the Atlanta Mission where the people live or are housed. And so being able to buy the food, cook the food, prepare the food, and then serve the food, what a blessing it was to be able to do that every first Friday and every third Friday, to be able to have a relationship with these people, to be able to minister to them. And then God bless me during the summertime to be able to teach classes, to teach anger management and conflict resolution and how to develop themselves to be able to be prepared to apply for jobs and get their resumes together, giving back to the community. So I saw this one of these ladies not long ago at the grocery store, and she didn't recognize me at first. And I said, "You don't remember who I am?" And she said, "Oh, baby, yes, ma'am. How you doing?" I said, "How are you doing? And how are you on my side of town?" And she said, "Baby, all those classes that I took," she said, "I was able to get my life together." And she said, "I got myself off drugs." And she said, "My family took me back in." She said, my daughter lives on this side of town," she said, "and I'm taking care of my grandkids." She said, "I just want to thank you," she said, "that you didn't give up on me." And I said, "Baby, I didn't give up on you. You didn't give up on you. Thanks, we got to give, because you never know what you're saying or what you're doing." And now God didn't have to do that. But I was grateful that he let me see the seeds that I sown, how they manifest. Thanks, we don't always get to see where our seeds are sown. And a lady once told me, she said, "You shouldn't look for where you sow your seed. Just sow them and keep it moving." Thanks, we got to be in a mindset of giving. Why? Because we're supposed to. That's what the word says, that there will always be the poor among you. So find someone to help and minister to, because, praise God, could be you. And so because it's not, amen, then let's share. Share the love. Do something. It doesn't have to necessarily be those that are in transition. It could be anybody. In the grocery store, when you see people struggling, that's one of the things that I enjoy, and I just pray that I always have a piece of change. When I see people counting their money and you know that they're struggling to get change to pay for something, hey man, how difficult is it to lay a dollar up there to make sure and tell them Jesus did this for you? We just don't know what that would do for somebody. But nevertheless, we have to be part of a life-giving community. God put us all in community to be able to give and to share. Amen. Okay, the next one is learn your limits and be steward of your time, your mind, your energy, and your resources as well. One strategy of the enemy is to wear us out. I've said many times before, his job is to shut us up and to sit us down. And what better way to do that? By messing with our finances, messing with our minds, with our emotions, all these things that he throws at us to get us off track. And so we have to learn how to limit and to steward ourselves better. And the scripture that God gave me to go with this is Proverbs 21:5. Proverbs 21:5 said, "The plans of the diligent lead only to plenty, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty." Saints, we have to be wise and we have to be good stewards of our time and our money, our energy, and all of our resources. Not just, I know people talk about, "Oh, you got to be a good steward over your finances." No, it's not just your finances, your time, your money. My girlfriend told me that I'm trying to teach a couple people, and you know, I just want to give a little piece of all of me to everybody, because you know, I want everybody to be well and everybody to be happy, and it troubles me at times when I can't reach people that are in my path. And she said, "Baby girl, you can't reach everybody. You know, you gotta let the responsibilities of those that are responsible step up. And so if you're always in the way, then God can't be God for them." And so I had to pray about that. And so I had to ask God, "Okay, help me to be a better steward of my time, because as I'm helping all these people, I'm limiting my time with my children. And so my children are lacking. And so I have to be a better steward over my time. And then I'm not resting like I'm supposed to. And so I have to be a better steward over my health." We all have to be better stewards of something that's going on in our lives, that we can be stretched if we don't take the time to allow God to lead our path. That's why I love the scripture, "Lean not to your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him and let him direct your path." We get so busy trying to be God that we forget that he's the vine and we're the branches. That's why I love that scripture, because I have to reel myself in from time to time, because many times I forget that I'm not the vine. He's the vine. And I'm just the bread, and I have to be connected to him, because without him, I can do absolutely positively nothing.
So, saints, we got to learn how to use our authority in operating. We got to learn how to exercise that authority. We got to learn how to stand on God's word. We have to be part of a life-giving community. And then we have to make sure that we have limits and we know how to steward and be better stewards of our time, mind, energy, and resources. And then we have to be better worshipers. I think sometimes we forget that there's victory in worship. And so I like that God gives us examples in the word where he shares stories. And so this particular passage of scripture is from Acts 16, 25 and 26. And it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas was praying and singing hymns to God, and other prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a violent earthquake that shook the foundation of the prison. And at once, all the prison doors were open and everyone's chains came loose. You see the power of singing. When the enemy tries to attack you, especially when you got stuff going on and your mind is racing, I promise you, you change that and put on some gospel music and get to singing and get to dancing. Before you know it, you'll forget all about whatever's going on. And that's breaking the chains of whatever that bond is that the enemy is trying to lock onto you. He can break those chains just by you moving your lips. I love the fact that this exercise a person gave me was, you know, say your ABCs in your mind. And then as you're saying your ABCs in your mind, then spell your first name out. You can't do both of them at the same time. You got to speak. You got to speak. You got to sing. You got to let your praises go unto God so that the enemy can only mess with your mind. So stop him. You can't be thinking about all this stuff that he's replaying in your head. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not tall enough. You're not skinny enough. All that. And then you start, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm made in the image of God. You're going to stand up a little taller. And whatever you got on is going to be just right. Amen. And however you walk in, whatever you can is just right. Whatever you drive it, amen. Even if it's squealing, it's moving and it's getting you from A to B. Amen. So you got to be a worshiper and you got to know that there's victory in worship. And then last but not least, 2 Corinthians 10 and 4 helps us to understand that we have to make war with the word. What does that mean? We have to make war with the word because it is written. And I love, 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 love that the weapons of our warfare are not flesh and blood, but the divine power is to destroy. That comes from weapons that we can't see. And so you got to use the word. You got to use the word of God because you can duke it out with the devil and you'll get tired and he'll win. But you put the word on him. Because, again, going back to Luke 10:19, he has given us the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. Amen. And you won't be harmed. I promise you won't be harmed. But you got to exercise your faith. You got to exercise it. So I'm going to say it again. Luke 10:19, Luke 9:1-2, 1 Corinthians 16:13, Luke 6:38. Proverbs 21 and 5, Acts 16, 25 to 26, 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. Now, I know somebody's probably saying, you still went too fast. I didn't get them all. I'm going to say them again. Luke 10:19, Luke 9:1-2, 1 Corinthians 16:13, Luke 9:38, Proverbs 21, 5, Acts 16, 25, 26, 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. And they went with the scriptures that said you need to learn your authority and operate in it. Exercise it. All authority. It has to be exercised. You got to stand on the word of God. You have to be part of a living community, a life-giving community, sorry. You have to learn your limits and steward your time, your mind, your energy, and your resources. You got to be a worshiper because there's victory in it. And then you got to make war with the word because it's written. Now, I love the fact that those are the keys that will help you prevail because you have to know your authority. Now, one of the coolest things that I read, and it gave an example, and I thought this was a really cool example on how when we learned how to drive, many of us couldn't wait to get up under that wheel. And I know my father, bless his heart, he used to love putting us on his lap and we could steer. And he would have the pedals. We weren't tall enough to reach the pedals. And so little me, I swore I could drive. You couldn't tell me nothing. Yes, I can drive. I could cut them corners. And so, of course, I love driving now. But nevertheless, there was a time I couldn't reach the pedals. So I didn't have the authority to drive. And then I had no license. Amen. But once I got a license and I grew a little bit, amen, I could push the seat up, amen, get on the pillow, amen. I had authority to drive. And the faster I drove, I had more authority. Amen. But then I had to remember there's a higher authority that will give you a ticket if you drive it too fast. But nevertheless, you can't do things unless you are released to do them. And so many times we forget and we try to operate in our own authority. But you can't. You got to operate in the authority of God. And so as I gave you seven keys, I'm going to give you three ways to exercise your authority because I love my steps, you know, so I got to help you figure out how to do those things. Now, the things I gave you before are things that they're in the Word. We just got to stand on. But this will help you do it. So there's three ways to exercise your authority. One is you got to flex your no muscle. I love this. I don't know where I got this from, but y'all pray for me because praise God. You know, I read so much stuff on the internet, and I just write it down because it's cool. So, amen. I have to get whoever did this, Lord, I thank you for it. But nevertheless, it says flex your no muscles. I have a problem with that. I ain't know how to say no. I told y'all before, any kid that comes, anybody for that matter, they need help. And then in my company, I feel obligated to help. But I had to learn how to say no. When we make decisions that are not our assignment, we eventually will struggle because we're not manifesting where we're supposed to be. And many times because the enemy knows your triggers, like he knows mine. And so he'll throw assignments at me just because he knows that I'll get caught up. And so I had to learn James 4 and 7 that said, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Many times the enemy don't come in a red suit with horns and a pitchfork. He comes as ice cream and cake and cookies. Amen. He comes in a cool and a good-looking man or a good-looking woman. He comes in many forms to distract you. But you have to learn how to be diligent and exercise your authority and say, no, you cannot have this part of my life. I know, what was his name? I can't remember. I could see him, but I can't see him. But praise God. He wrote a song, and he said, you're cute, but not cute enough for my salvation. I love that song because many times we talk about, oh, he's so fine, I'll do such and such and such and such, but it's not worth it. You have to put your foot down and refuse to allow the enemy to trap you. So you got to remember, you got to submit to God. And I like how many people say, resist the devil and he'll flee, resist the devil and he'll flee. That is true. But they forget the first part. You got to submit to God first. Because if you don't submit to God, amen, the enemy knows whether you submitting to him or not. And so resisting him don't mean he's going nowhere. Amen. But if you submit to God, then amen. Yes, ma'am, he's got to go. Amen. James 4 and 7. The next one is you got to speak the word. I think sometimes we forget that the word is a weapon. And that it's truth and life and it's God's word. And so if you pray, you praise, and you declare truth. My daughter, she says confessions every day. Some days I can hear her. And I'm like, there she go. But amen. She's building her faith. So who am I? So now I open my door a little bit. Or sometimes I'll turn the TV down so I can hear what she's saying. And I repeat what she's saying. Because the word has power. And I love the fact that she got the baby girl involved and she's doing it together. You got to understand why speaking the word is important. Why? Because Jesus spoke the word. And I love these examples that they gave in Matthew 4. It says, when Jesus was tested in the wilderness, And Jesus answered, it is written that man should not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And then we skip down a little bit further. In verse 7 it says, and Jesus answered and said, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And then you skip down a little bit more to verse 10 and it says, and Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then I like verse 11, it says, and then the devil left him. But look, he didn't just leave him. He left him, and then the angels came and attended him. I love, love, love my God, because he doesn't leave you hanging. When the devil beat you up and you seem like you just ain't got no more to go, amen, he will send the angels. He'll send people to build you up and get you back on your feet. When I went through all the stuff that I went through, I was like, Lord, this is terrible, because it's COVID and I had to do this by myself. This is not fun. This is not fair. But God knew how to send the right people and said the right things, made the right phone calls, got through when they could, and kept pressing and kept doing what was necessary to keep my spirit built up. God will never leave you nor forsake you. You got to believe that. You got to know that you got to be able to exercise your know. You got to be able to speak the word. And then last but not least, this I think is one of the most important things that I think sometimes we forget. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts. That's why abiding in Christ is so important. When God is the only authority to allow us to really stand in authority against anything that tries to come at us, I think that it is so important that we have to be anchored. And when we're not anchored in scripture and worship and prayer and do this daily, amen, how do we say that the Lord sits on the throne of my heart? You can't. The enemy is trying desperately to be in the throne of your life. And so if you don't make sure that you say in God's word, praising and lifting him up and by prayer and supplication, amen, the enemy will master your thoughts and help take over your behaviors. You got to yield yourself to God and do that by allowing him in. And so, again, here go my scriptures, y'all. John 15, I'm going to start with 4, and I'm going to read a couple of them. It says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abides in the vine, no more can you. And then we go to my scripture. I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth as much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And the men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will come to pass. Herein is my Father's glory side, that you bear much fruit, so that you may be my disciples. That's John 15, 4 through 8. Saints, there is so much we have to learn, but let it be that, amen, that you learn how to use your authority. Just as cool as it is to watch the kids, not even kids, us for that matter, playing cards, and we know, or any game, that we're being competitive, and we know that we're operating in authority, that we know, amen, without a shadow of a doubt, I'm going to win, and we have that authority knowing we're going to win. We got to have the same kind of confidence when we step into the devil, or when he tries to step to us. I have the authority. Now, I ain't saying go look for the devil. I ain't saying that. Amen. Make sure I clear that up. But he's going to try you. He's going to try you. Now that he's talking about, you know how to walk in authority. So as long as you are in authority and you're walking in authority, then amen, take advantage of the steps that we learned today. The 7 steps how to make sure that you will prevail in your authority. Is you got to learn what authority is. What kind of authority are you operating in? And I love the definition in the dictionary. It says, authority is the freedom to decide or right to act without hindrance. And I like the other definition. It says, authority means to delegate right to rule or lead. is the means to power, to act, to decide, command, and to judge. It's the right to set policies. Amen. I have the authority to slap that ace down and collect all my books. Amen. Because I got the trump card. Amen. I have just as much of a trump card to send the devil back to wherever he came from when he tries to throw something at me that God has not ordained. I know how to resist the devil and flee the wise because I trust in the Lord. I lean to the Lord. I give him my all. I worship and I praise him and I study to show myself approved because I'm rightly dividing God's word. You have to do the same. You have to learn your authority and operate in it. You got to know that all authority must be exercised. You got to stand on the word of God. You got to be part of a life-giving community. You got to learn how to set limits and steward your time, your mind, your energy, your resources. Your enemy is out to get you. Amen. So you got to be prepared. You got to be a worshiper. You got to know that there's victory in your worship. And then you got to make sure that you make war with the word. It's written. You got to, it is important for you to say, it is written. It is written. I think that I must say that we can't be foolish and believe that that we're operating in any of this, that we're doing any of this. It is God's will, and that's why it's important. I didn't put this as part of my scripture list, but you got to remember Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, that you can't lean to your own understanding. Sometimes we think that, you know, amen, I got this. Like, I got my card game going. I got it. I really don't have it. I think I got it, and I believe my confidence wants me to believe, but I don't have nothing without God. And people tease me all the time. Save for when I'm slapping them cards down. And I probably shouldn't be praying over the cards, but I am because I pray in all that I do. Amen. God, I thank you. You're going to let me walk away a winner, and amen. Smack. Amen. Where y'all going? Because I'm going to Boston. Where y'all going? Amen. So you got to know and got to operate in the authority that God gives. And I promise you, it works. It works. Because if you remember, he's the vine and that you just a branch, I promise, you will bear fruit that will remain. It will last. It will last. And even in the weakest times, and I've had a whole bunch of them in the past year, but even in the midst of it all, God was still there. He was still there. And he was still encouraging me. And like Jesus said at the end, when the devil left, the angels came and restored him. God will restore us all, saints. But you got to know your authority. You got to know your authority. So study to show yourself approved so you can rightly divide his word. Now, I got to close the broadcast because, you know, I ain't never out of talk, but I am out of time. I could go on and on and on, especially since I had learned how to overcome the enemy. Amen. By the fruit and the lips of this word. Amen. But nevertheless, I got to go. But I always close the granny song. I'll close the broadcast with my granny's favorite song. Every praise belongs to him because it really does. Every praise belongs to him. And in a couple of weeks, my granny will be 96 years old. Can you believe that? God has blessed her to be able to not only see her children saved, but see her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren, all give their lives to Christ. And so her life has been fruitful. She has planted fruit that has remained. And so praise God because of that fruit. We pray she'll be here for the great-great-grand. But nevertheless, her generation will know the Lord because she set the right seed and set the right foundation. Can everybody say that about us? What would they say about us? Will we lay the right foundation? Will we lead our family members to the Lord? Or will we kind of hope they figure it out someday? Again, I got a few little seconds to say. I took a class. It was to share Jesus without fear and how easy it is for us to share the Lord with strangers. We can witness with the church and we can do all these cool things, feed the homeless, feed the, you know, those that are in transition, those that are, you know, we can do all these things, but we can't part our lips when it comes to our family members. What are we really saying? Are we saying we'd rather strangers go to heaven and our families go to hell? I don't think that that's the way that God called that to be. We are examples for all those in our community, those we know and those we don't know. If they're in our conference, then they should be able to see Jesus, because they may be, we may be the only Jesus they see. And so you got to live right, and you got to do right, and you got to be right. Amen. Okay, I keep talking, but I got to go. So I'm going to pray the song, and I hope that y'all will tune in again next week. Same time, same station, however you dialed in or logged in, please come back and bring somebody with you. Remember, remember, remember to always, always, always start your day with prayer. Pray throughout your day and then end your day with prayer. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Let me hear the worshiper. Where's all of my praise? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Every praise,
every praise,
every praise,
it's to our